amar.
Good morning, and welcome to the Samson Gulch Jazz Band. That's it. Yeah, yeah. Who's in the Samson? Usually, we see Ralph Hegstead up there playing banjo, but he couldn't fly. He has something going on with his leg, and they said you can't fly, so that's why he's not here this morning. Usually would be. Who else do you got? Larry?
This is Doug Howe on the trombone.
Doug.
Ed Schmaltz on the alto sax.
Yo.
Yay, Eddie. Molly Kaufman on the piano, if you can see her. There she is, there she is. Steve Ballman on tuba. And Nick Petrocelli, the youngster, on drums. Thank you for having us.
And who are you?
Sorry. And my name is Larry Lagerberg. I play the flugelhorn and the trumpet.
All Okay, good. An Italian drummer, that's just not right. It just. Well, we hope today to set the stage for an encounter with the living Christ. That's why we're here. So lean in. Lean in. There are some people who come in to worship and you see them doing this more so. Try the other way. Try leaning in. See what happens. But please, this is a warning. This is a warning. People coming in late here. I want them to hear this warning. This is a warning, though. If your toe inadvertently taps, just say no. We're PCUSA here, and the ushers have been instructed to swiftly deal with any inadvertent toe tapping or smiling. This is, of course, no place for feeling jubilant or alive. This is church. Music ignites my soul with fire when I'm in sorrow or in pain. It makes me fall in love with God again and again. Music in my life after all these years, through ups and downs, somehow I manage to survive and sing the tears. Though life's road is rough, music lets me dance and sing aloud through whatever God sends my way. This now is our call to worship, the call to turn our attention. Frederick Buechner says, doing the work you're best at doing and like to do best, hearing great music, having great fun, seeing something very beautiful, weeping at somebody else's tragedy. All these experiences are related to the experience of salvation. Because in all of them, two things happen. You lose yourself, and you find that you are more fully yourself than ever before. Amen. Let's stand and see if we can help this group have some energy, okay? Here we go. Here we go.
I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the
no more sorrow and sadness. Oh.
One advantage to this kind of music is you can sing anything you want to and it works. And we just did. We pray together. This prayer is from Ephesians. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is. And to experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully know or understand it. And so at last, you will be filled up with God himself. Amen. And now, as people set free, may the peace of Christ be with you.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
You may be seated. At this time, we're going to invite the children to come up for discovery time with Miss Suzanne. Come on up. Is Miss Suzanne in here? As they're coming up, we want to welcome you to worship here at New Hope today. And we always have this token of welcome here, these cups. You can fit any beverage in here you want. There's no judgment.
Let's go, let's go.
These are one of a kind. You can't get them anywhere else.
Hi, friends.
And they have all kinds of stuff about New Hope
in
them.
I did.
And we want to put these in your hand if you're visiting with us today. Who do we have any visitors here? Back here, all right. All right, welcome. We got visitors back here. It's my family that came. There you go. All right. Anybody else? If you don't want to raise your hand, that's okay. We have them on the welcome table. On your way out, you can grab them. Nobody's going to stop you. Welcome to worship at New Hope today. Miss Suzanne.
Good morning, friends. I lost track of time, so I was a little bit late. So I have a question for you guys. How many of you guys have siblings, like a brother or a sister, by like a show of hands? Everybody can answer this question. See, a lot of us are sitting next to our siblings. So sometimes it's kind of hard to get along with our siblings, and we don't really get to choose our siblings, do we? No, we don't. You're the second one, I'm the younger one too. But so the really cool part is in the book of Matthew, Jesus talked about this idea that any time people met to like talk about Jesus, then they were brothers and sisters in Jesus. Isn't that a cool concept? So I want you guys to take a moment to look out, and I want you guys to make awkward eye contact with at least two people, because everybody loves awkward eye contact. Out there, not with each other. That's not awkward. But, so the crazy part is, all of the people who are out there, whether or not they're your parents, whether or not they're aunts, uncles, if you know them, if you don't know them, but they're also your brothers and sisters. So how many of you guys are the older sibling? So I'm the younger one, but I know from being a younger sibling that usually the older siblings kind of look after and like protect and take care of the younger sibling, right?
Not really.
Well, so like you're allowed to like bug your sister, but like no one else is allowed to mess with her, right?
Lie.
Lie? Oh, that's a bummer. Oh, well, that's cool. But looking out, all of these people, they're older than you. Not by much, but they're older than you. And therefore, they get to look after you. But you guys also have the chance where, like, you can teach them different things. And so, it's super cool because all of us, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that cool? And the thing is that we get to choose these siblings. Say yes to these siblings rather than the fact that we don't get to choose our own siblings. And we just get to love them anyways. Pray with me and then we'll so much for giving us brothers and sisters, both biological and also through the church. And Lord, thank you so much that you've given us such a great community and that we get to choose our family. And in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, head on downstairs.
All right. Good luck, Suzanne. It's nice being in that position at one time and now seeing them go all down because I know everything that's going to happen down there. Well, as we look forward to what we're doing as a church community for the kingdom of God, we have a few announcements. Like Nick has said, we have the Samson Gulch Jazz Band here today, and we just want to welcome them and what a good job they're doing. Also, I think 2 months ago, Russ had sent an email out saying, there's an email going around that says it's from him asking people for iTunes gift cards. That's happening again. So I just want to announce that's not him. If it's not from rkane@newhopepres.org, don't worry about it. It's trash, all right? Another piece, it's not too late for pledge cards. If you haven't filled one out, that's okay. We'll accept it at any time. There's still time for that. And then realm pictures, next week. We're going to start taking pictures here at church on Sunday, if you'd like, to put on Realm. Realm is our church database. And so we have a lot of names in there, but we don't have a lot of pictures and faces to go with those names. And if we see names with pictures, we're going to know you on Sunday morning a lot better. And so we're going to have stations where you can stand there, somebody will snap your picture, and we can upload it to Realm. And we're going to start doing that to kind of get to know our community a little bit better. And then Hands of Hope, August 19th. Keep this on your calendar. It's the day where we go outside these walls and we serve our community on Sunday morning. And then we have an all-church picnic at noon right after it at Philip S. Miller Park, or some of you call it the MAC. And so we'll do that on the 19th. If you have any ideas for any projects, let me know. That would be great. We've had a lot coming in. If you have neighbors that need help, if you have a business in your neighborhood that you know needs some help with stuff, or nonprofits, any of that stuff will help. So that's coming up on August 19th. As we prepare our hearts for worship today, we look to our scripture from Matthew 12, 46 through 50. After I read this, we're going to have a time of silent reflection, just so that these words can be absorbed. They can become a part of you, not just something you hear on Sunday morning, but something that you end up doing during the week. While he was still talking to the crowd, his mothers and brothers showed up. They were outside trying to get a message to him. Someone told Jesus, "Your mother and brothers are out there wanting to speak with you." Jesus didn't respond directly, but said, "Who do you think my mother and brothers are?" He then stretched out his hand towards his disciples. "Look closely. These are my mother and brothers. Obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys my heavenly Father's will is my brother and sister and mother." God of all hope, wonder, and love, We all come before you today with different things on our hearts and minds, troubles, pains, joys, celebrations. For some of us, this week was a good week. For others of us, it was a bad week. We come today to be renewed before you, to be reminded of what's important. We pray for those within our congregation with sicknesses. The sicknesses of cancer, broken bones, surgeries. We also pray for those that have sicknesses you can't necessarily see, whether they're of the mind or of the heart. We pray that you will be the healer and the comforter. God, we also pray, we think outside these church walls and we think towards our neighborhood, our community, that we may be able to reflect your love this week to our neighbors and friends and the people we encounter everywhere. We pray for even broader, our state, our country, our world. We pray for all those leaders that lead and that you may guide their hearts and minds as we all learn how to live with one another. We pray for those in the world that are growing up in areas that are full of war, violence, persecution, judgment. We pray for those that are scared to walk outside their doors, fear of bombs going off. We pray for those who are fearful of going out their doors for being judged and persecuted. God, we know that we all bear an image of you. Help us to see that image in one another, that we may continue to build a world that is of love and openness rather than of fear and walls. And we pray this all as you have taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we worship as giving ourselves back to God, and whether that's in a tangible gift in the plate or it's of our time and resources and energy to the church and to the kingdom of God, we offer ourselves back to God.
I've been a-wearied of traveling in this veil of woe. There must be a place in some happy land where the weary of the soul can go, steal away to the other side. It's a wonderful place to be. There'll be room to spare when we get up there. There'll be room for you and for me. Oh, Jordan's long and deep and wide, but the skies are always blue. On the left side and on the right side, 50 miles of elbow room. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful music today, you guys and gals. Well, welcome. I'm Jordan. I'm the associate pastor here at New Hope. And Russ is on sabbatical, which means dad's gone and the fun uncle comes into town. No, this is going to be good for everybody involved. It's good for me for growth. It's good for Russ getting some rest. And it's good for us because what we're going to do in the next 3 weeks, we're going to have this series called This Is Us. And we're going to start to talk about what rediscovering what church community is. Because I thought when Russ said he was going on sabbatical, and he said in the fall he was going to start this new series called Won't You Be My Neighbor? Kind of based off of Mr. Rogers. And we're going to talk about what does it mean to be a good neighbor. So what were we going to talk about before that? Well, rediscovering who we are as a church family, as a church community. Because in order for us to reach out and help our community and our neighbors, we have to rediscover the love we have for one another first. Because otherwise we're just putting things out there that is not love. So we're titling it, This Is Us. And yes, that's a playoff of the popular TV show, This Is Us. And we'll watch a clip a little bit later. Just warning people that haven't caught up, this is the second season finale. There's a clip from that. So I'm sorry if you haven't caught up to the show yet. But we'll watch that in a little bit. And so I thought we just need to talk about us for a moment. We've gone through a lot in the last 3 years. There's been a lot of transitions, staff movements, associate pastor moving on. We had 3 years ago the marriage decision, and then there was a split. And so sometimes in the midst of chaos in our lives, whether it's personal or with your families, you tend to just kind of lose yourself in all of it. And so how, in ways, have we kind of lost ourselves? We've lost energy, things like that. So we're going to rediscover, what does it mean? What brought us here in the first place? And so we're going to use our tagline, find a home, build a life, and make a difference. This week we're going to talk about find a home. Next week is build a life. And the week after is? I should have kept this off because that'd be a test. And so we're going to rediscover these things that we value here about that this is a place that should be home. It's a place where we can build a life together, and it's a place where we can make a difference in the world. Four years ago, my wife and I moved here, and we're now, this is 4 years, and that's the longest we've lived in one place as a married couple. And so we've moved around a couple times, from college to seminary to here. And so I started thinking, when people ask, where is home? First you think, well, of course, it's the place I grew up. But then there's also home in Michigan. There's also home in Chicago. And so home becomes this very different thing. It's all over the place. And when you're a child, home feels a lot different than when you're an adult. When you're a child, you have all these familiar sights and sounds and people. It's your built-in ecosystem. When you move somewhere, and a lot of us know this because we're transplants, you have to make home or maybe stumble upon it because you don't have that familiarity anymore. So first, I grew up in Iowa, and Michelle grew up in Iowa also. And so that is home. And that's also where a lot of our family lives. And so that is home. Then we went to the big city of Chicago from the farmlands of Iowa for college. And then that is home in some ways because that was the first place that you were on your own, discovering yourself, discovering a city, especially moving from small town Iowa, a town of about 800 people, to Chicago. That's a big change. Then we moved to Michigan, and Michigan is where we first lived as a married couple, and I went to seminary. And that place became home because of the relationships we built, the church I worked at, and the community that we formed. This one I like to say is my spiritual home. Some of you always assume that I'm from Wisconsin, and so now I've just kind of claimed it as another home for me. And so this one was also for all our Packers fans in here. I know Don is in the back there. And then now we came to colorful Colorado. And in each place we've gone, you have to figure out how are you going to make this home? Now, home isn't just a building or a place, is it? And so I want to ask you, what makes home a home? So you guys can jump in, raise your hand, or say something. What makes home feel like home to you? Guys, the 9 o'clock was really chatty. Not that it's a competition, but
the people that you share it with.
The people that you share it with. Good. Good. What else makes home home?
Comfort.
What's that?
Comfort.
Comfort.
Familiarity.
A place you look forward to coming back to. I'm actually really surprised nobody mentioned food. Sometimes food has that smell of home, right? Certain foods. Yes.
Easy chair.
Easy chair. The place where you can put your feet up. Good. Memories. A place you can be yourself. Home is a place where there's people. People we love, relationships, a community. And family and home doesn't feel like it unless you're comfortable and you can be who you are. Now, Castle Rock tends to be a community of transplants. A lot of us have come from somewhere else, right? Unless you're that person with the native bumper sticker. You've been here your whole life and you want everybody to know. But we've all come from somewhere, so we all know this kind of idea of making home. A lot of us have family far away, and so you kind of have to create a family here. People that you could trust, people that you could be yourself with, people you can be comfortable with. Family and people is what makes the home. But what happens when a person that is experienced moving constantly in their life, with parents who are stressed about financial struggles, they can never get ahead, that their home tends to be this place of anxiety and stress? What happens for the person to which home is a place to avoid in order to avoid another black eye? What happens when home is a place where a child is constantly shamed and told that they are not enough? It's easy for some of us to point to family as a place to call home. We live in the suburbs. This place was created for families. So what happens when home for people doesn't feel like home at all? Our scripture for today, Jesus is subverting expectations. He's been doing this for a while already in the Gospels. Up until this point, people are asking him questions, trying to test him and to hear the answer they want to hear, but he always changes it up. And even with this question, with his poor family at the doors knocking, and some people think they were there to try and take Jesus back home because what he was doing seemed a little crazy. They didn't want shame upon their family. And so they're trying to bring him back to control the situation. And so as they're at the door knocking, asking for Jesus, he redefines family. He opens it wider. And he says, "These disciples in front of me are also my brothers and my mother." Now this is radical because in that time, even now, family is a big deal. But in that time, blood and family was really important. So you weren't just known as John. You were known as John, son of Bob. You carried that with you everywhere. Even in some places in the gospel, when Jesus is speaking, somebody's like, "Oh, that's Jesus, Joseph's son." Kind of passive-aggressively, because maybe Joseph wasn't that wealthy. And I'm sure for a long time that shame and confusion about Mary having a child that wasn't Joseph's was one of those most talked about pieces in the community. And so now Jesus is this outcast, somebody born out of shame.
So they want them to end this, and Jesus is telling his disciples, these are my brothers and my mother. Jesus is showing that his human experience is much like ours. We all have troubles with our families, right? From time to time. Jesus had the same thing. He got the whole human experience, and he understands what we go through. So instead of transmitting this shame and pain that his family is experiencing, trying to take him back home to control the situation, he transforms it. He opens up the definition of family. He says, these people who are obedient to God that I love, they are family. And this is big for the disciples too, because they're no longer just servants or quote-unquote friends with Jesus, but he considers them almost as blood. Whenever Jesus is asked questions, he opens things up bigger than we expected. He's shown that sometimes our definitions of family, of community, can be too tight, too tightly drawn. And so what would happen then if we can see the image of God that's implanted in each human being? What would happen if we start considering others, our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers? How would the world change? What if the woman in the shelter is your sister? What if the man asking for money at the stoplight by County Line Road is your brother? What if those leaders in the parties, political parties that you don't agree with are your brothers and sisters? What if those families at the border are your family? What if the president is your brother? When we start thinking that way, how will the world change? Jesus opens up our idea of family, and that starts to create problems because we can no longer close things in. We can no longer contain people. We can make our tribes and tightly knit families, keeping everything else out with fear and shame. But when we start to think of everyone else as our brothers and sisters, that breaks it down. We can no longer hold on to our ideas of who is in and who is out, because in our scripture, Jesus ends up not condemning his family. Sometimes on the outside, we look at it and we're like, ooh, that was kind of harsh. But Jesus doesn't actually condemn them or send them home. Instead of using that pain and shame from his family, he uses it to transform the idea of family. I'm going backwards, I'm sorry. Because Richard Rohr says, if we don't transform our pain, we will most assuredly transmit it. And we see this everywhere. In our own family units, in our towns, our communities, our neighborhoods, our nation, our world. When we don't address our pain in our lives and transform it, we end up transmitting it to others. And the cycle keeps going. So as a church family, what happens when we start to see those in our community as brothers, sisters, and mothers? How does our mission change? You and I have clearly found this place to be home. That's why we're here. Something about it kept us here. Something about it just felt right. Because we take care of one another, praying for each other. For me, New Hope has been a very special place because in ministry, whenever you go to work at a church, it's kind of a gamble, right? Because when you're searching for a pastor, everybody puts on their best faces. And it isn't until you start getting into the dirty work with everybody that you start to see the family dynamics of the church. And I know I'm young and I don't have that much experience, but I've worked in a couple churches. And churches act very much like family units, and if there is pain and shame and hurt that hasn't been dealt with, they're transmitting it to those who are walking through the doors. And then they wonder why they're not growing. All they're doing is transmitting pain that they have. One example for why this place has been very special to myself is 2 months ago, Michelle hurt her ankle. And right away, the deacons were bringing meals to us, which concerns me because I guess they don't think I can cook very well. People in the church community were offering their scooters, their ice machines, their crutches. And that was just a small need, right? But I've seen this place come together for those in bigger needs, in bigger hurts, deaths, mental illness troubles. This has been a place for me that I've experienced much grace and openness and compassion that I haven't experienced in another church. And you need to remember why this place became special to you, how it became home. What makes you feel free to be yourself here? And how can you extend that space and grace to others when they are around you? When we get lost in the shifts and changes and the chaos of our lives, of who is right and who is wrong, that's all that will transmit to people who walk through those doors, or even worse, to those who have yet to walk through the doors. To rediscover why we found this place to be home is important to how we're going to reach out to our communities, how we're going to be neighbors. To remember why this place drew you here, how can you extend that same grace and hospitality to those in your neighborhood? You were able to choose this family. People in this very room made you feel at home at church. And we're going to watch a clip here from This Is Us. And if you haven't seen the show, it kind of jumps back and forth between past, future, present. In this clip, it's going to kind of jump into the future at points. Don't worry about it. Just listen to the speech that the brother gives at the wedding. There's going to be, their sister is getting married, and there's two brothers. You'll see the first one at first, and then the second brother will come in. And just listen to what he says about choosing family. Christ has chosen perfectly in you. God has chosen perfectly in humanity because we're not perfect. That's what makes us so lovable. So what are some things that made you feel like this was home? Was it music style? Was it the people that greeted you through the front door? Was it the missions we do? What are some of the things, if you care to lift them up, that made this place feel like home to you? Sermons? People? What was that? Traditions? Good. Someone said they needed you. Small groups. Acceptance. There's something about this place that made you choose it. Just like this clip says, the future may hold unknown and uncertainty, fear, but as long as these people that you have chosen to be your transplant family are here, those things aren't so scary anymore because of the people you chose. May we let go of control. Control that wants to create our groups, to divide, to let fear win. Bob Goff wrote a book a couple years ago called Love Does, which is basically he's going back to the Gospels and he's saying everything that Jesus does is showing love to somebody. Showing love to somebody that the world doesn't think deserves love, whether it's the Samaritan woman at the well, the man who can't walk at the pool, those who can't see, the lepers, woman caught in adultery. Jesus is always showing love. And he followed it up with a book this year called Everybody Always, How to Love Everyone at All Times, Even the Difficult Ones. And he says this, you'll be able to spot people who are becoming love because they want to build kingdoms, not castles. They fill their lives with people who don't look like them or act like them or even believe the same things as them. They treat them with love and respect and are more eager to learn from them than presume they have something to teach. May we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, showing love, learning from others, treating others as our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. Hands of Hope has been that thing for us over the past couple years that has helped us enact that. That we go out into our communities and we serve and we love, not expecting anything in return. Because that's what this world needs. Love, compassion, and openness. Talking about tough things together. Instead of dividing and polarizing ourselves, being staunchly in our camps, but learning that we are all family, that we belong to one another, and we belong to God. Let us not forget why we chose this family. Let us not forget why Jesus chose us. And let us not forget how we found this new hope, this church community, this faith community, to be home. Let's pray. God, we come before you today, renewed, reminding ourselves of why this place became special to us, why you became special to us, thinking of the moments that broke into our lives that changed everything, that somehow we were just seen through some blinders, but now we see the whole picture. May you help us to extend that same grace, acceptance, love, and hospitality to those around us, even the difficult people. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you please stand in our last song together with the Samson Gulch Band?
One more time.
Now, church, may you go out this week. May you be a reflection of Christ's love to those around you. May you cross those lines that we do not want to cross. May you do the hard work of love. And may the God of all hope and understanding and joy fill you this week. And all God's people said, go in peace.